Adataya vayunayeda machasta vishvam. Supta prabuddha ivanata bhavat prapanna. Tasya pavargya sharanam tava padamulam. Vismaryate kritita katam artha bandho. O Master, Lord Brahma, who is fully surrendered unto you, in the beginning you gave him knowledge, and thus he could see and understand the entire universe. Just as a person awakens from sleep and visualizes his immediate duties, you are the only shelter of all persons who desire liberation, and you are the friend of all who are in distress. How therefore can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be forgotten even for a moment by His surrendered devotees. The devotee understands that the Lord's causeless mercy is beyond his estimation. He cannot know how much he is benefited by the grace of the Lord. The more a devotee engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, the more encouragement is supplied by the energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that to those who are constantly engaged in devotional service with love and affection, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives intelligence from within, and thus they may make further progress. Being so encouraged, the devotee can never forget at any moment the Personality of Godhead. He always feels obliged to Him for having achieved increased power in devotional service by His grace. Saintly persons like Sanak, Sanatan, and Lord Brahma were able to see the entire universe by the mercy of the Lord, through knowledge of the Lord. The example is given that a person may apparently abstain from sleep all day, but as long as he is not spiritually enlightened, he is actually sleeping. He may sleep at night and perform his duties in the daytime, but as long as he does not come to the platform of working in spiritual enlightenment, he is considered to be always sleeping. A devotee, therefore, never forgets the benefit derived from the Lord. The Lord is addressed here as Artha Bandho, which means friend of the distressed. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births of executing severe austerities in search of knowledge, one comes to the point of real knowledge and becomes wise when one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mayavadi philosopher who does not surrender unto the Supreme Person is understood to be lacking in real knowledge. The devotee in perfect knowledge cannot forget his obligation to the Lord at any moment. We are reading today from Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text Number 8 of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home. Dhruva Maharaj, by dint of his surrender to Guru and Krishna, has received personal darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a 5-year-old child who was not suitably educated, he felt a great deficiency. Upon seeing the Lord, there was so much love. The nature of real love is that we want to express our gratitude, our appreciation, in glorification of the persons we love. But he felt that nothing he could say was sufficient. How could he offer prayers to the Lord at the age of 5? But the Lord knows everyone's heart. Paramatma knows every desire, every living entity. And ultimately, it is the Lord who empowers everyone according to their desires, either directly or through his material energy. Directly means through his spiritual energy. When the Lord sees a devotee has a desire, sincere desire, to serve him, the Lord empowers that devotee with the intelligence, the ability, and sometimes even the facilities and the means to perform a wonderful service. When a materialistic person has various desires influenced by the modes of goodness, passion, or ignorance, through these modes of nature, through material energy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead empowers that person to fulfill his desires. Essentially, the existence of all living entities and how they are living is based on their desire. Nothing is impossible for one who is in grace, who has been given the blessings of the Lord. Thus, by his affectionate gesture of touching the head of Dhruva Maharaj with his conch shell, he empowered Dhruva Maharaj with all knowledge and with the ability to speak the highest truths in profound Sanskrit poetry. This took place in the Satya Yuga. Today we are living several millions of years from this time. And all over the world, great Vaishnavas are studying eagerly the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. Even the greatest Sanskrit scholars study with much reverence the incredible prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. And the Paramhamsas, who are pure devotees, perfectly enlightened with spiritual consciousness, they derive great inspiration and devotion by hearing the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. That is possible because he pleased Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan is fulfilling his desire. His desire was to glorify the Lord. We see in the story of Sanatan Goswami, he wanted to glorify the Lord, Madan Mohan. So it was Krishna, who's the controller of all controllers. He sent that boatman, who was very wealthy, with great treasures on his boat. And the boat got stuck. And ultimately, Krishna himself went down to the boat and told the man, you should go to the top of the hill. There's a great devotee there. Krishna made all the plans. Then he went up and he surrendered to the lotus feet of Sanatana Goswami. Surrendering to a devotee means you surrender to Krishna, because the devotee simply wants you to surrender to Krishna. To surrender to him means to do what he says. So he surrendered to Madan Mohan. And then Madan Mohan freed the boat from its danger. He went to Agra. He sold everything he had. And then Madan Mohan, who is in the heart of that Mr. Kapoor, he inspired him to take every bit of his wealth and build a temple. First major beautiful temple in all of Vrindavan, Sri Madan Mohan. We sing, Jai Radha Madan Mohan, Sanatana Prandanahe. Because actually that temple was built on the basis of the desire of Sanatana Goswami. He wanted to serve his Guru Maharaj. His Guru Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who he offered his life and soul to, Shiksha Guru, he wanted the six Goswamis to illuminate the whole world with pure bhakti. Lord Chaitanya told him to build temples. But he also told him to live such a simple, austere, renounced life. So how is it possible to do both? Anything is possible if you have the desire. So Krishna fulfilled his desire, and thus Madan Mohan Temple was built. Srila Prabhupada, the seed of his desire was planted by his Guru Maharaj, who told him to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It was simply based on his desire that incredible miracles of history took place. His speaking attracted the hearts of young, intelligent American men and women. We've been reading in the during lunch prasad from Sri Prabhupada's Leelamrita. Prabhupada wanted books to be distributed. He spent so much of his life's energy to write the translations and commentaries of the most important Vaishnava scriptures. And obviously he wanted the world flooded with these literatures. But in the late 60s, early 70s, really there was the book distribution, Mahatmyam. There is the story of Madhvacharya getting the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he actually is given the knowledge of Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam. But Lord Chaitanya specifically told him, according to time, place, circumstance, at this time in Kali Yuga, you should reveal Narayan is the supreme, because Krishna is Narayan. And he taught him exactly how he should preach to fulfill his particular purpose. Hare Krishna. So this is an important factor to deliberate upon. Hare Krishna.
Jaladutta.
It had to ultimately be given to him free. He didn't have enough to even pay half. The person who gave to him, Sumati Murarji, he was preaching in that place. 1965. Somehow he had a desire to have a temple in Juhu. Hare Krishna. He didn't even have enough money to pay for half the ticket. Sumati Murarji said, we'll pay for half the ticket. You should raise the money for the other half. He couldn't do it. And now the most beautiful, costly, popular temple in all of Bombay. Radharas Bihari Temple. How did it come about? Because Prabhupada had the desire. And Krishna fulfilled that desire. And he empowered so many devotees to assist Srila Prabhupada in fulfilling that desire. When Srila Prabhupada left Bombay, eventually he went to Calcutta. Before going on the Jaladutta, where he only had 40 rupees, he went to Mayapur Dham to offer his obeisances and beg for the blessings of his Guru Maharaj at Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Samadhi Mandir. Here he was, coming to Mayapur with 40 rupees, just begging for blessings to go to a foreign land. And a few years later, there is the Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. Beautiful temple. And devotees from every continent on earth, except for Antarctica. Every continent on earth were coming there in the presence of Prabhupada to chant Jai Sachinandan Gaur Hari in a beautiful temple. Became the most popular temple in all of Bengal, with the largest guest house. The guest house, even at Prabhupada's time, this guest house was the longest building in all of Bengal to accommodate his disciples. And a few years before, he came there with nothing, just begging for some blessings. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was his desire that people from all over the world come to Mayapur to worship the Lord. And it, actually, disciplic succession is a disciplic succession of desire. Krishna has the desire to make people Krishna conscious. That's why he comes to the world. And he empowers, and that desire is implanted in people's hearts. Thakur Bhaktivinoda had the desire. That seed of desire that he placed in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's heart. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur placed that seed of his desire in Srila Prabhupada's heart. And the desires of all the previous acharyas are being fulfilled. Miraculously. By the mercy of Krishna. Because the devotee has surrendered his life and soul, or her life and soul, simply to please Krishna. Krishna's a person. He reciprocates by surrendering his life to please his devotee. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam dvaham. The Lord has said like this. The sadhu, my devotee, has given up everything for me. Therefore, I'm willing to give up everything for him. My devotee knows nothing but me. Therefore, I know nothing but my devotee. The devotee, I am his life and soul. Therefore, he becomes my life and soul. That is love. Everything is situated on our desire. And Krishna, he has a chintya shakti. He has inconceivable potencies. He can do anything. And on the basis of the love and the desire of his devotee, he empowers that devotee to do wonderful things. Even the devotee doesn't know really how it's happening. Srila Prabhupada is explaining this in purport. He can't understand how Krishna is doing all these things, but he knows that that Krishna is the doer. Therefore, a devotee never takes credit for anything. A devotee simply, with all humility, tries to purify his or her desire, knowing that accordingly Krishna can empower us to do wonderful things in his loving service. Really, the essence of parampara is to surrender and imbibe the desire of the previous acharyas. It's not simply a matter of hearing transcendental knowledge, but it's receiving that knowledge by making your desire one with the Guru Parampara on the basis of that knowledge. Then a person is empowered. Krishna's desire is that every living being be happy by knowing him and loving him through their own independent sweet will. So he impregnated Brahma's heart with that desire. And therefore, at the very beginning of creation, we find Lord Brahma, he's sitting on top of that lotus flower that is born from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and he's bewildered. He has to make his own independent free choice. He's looking around at the universe he's living in, and it's all darkness. He's an illusion. And he tries by all of his own methods to somehow or other relieve himself of his anxiety and understand who am I? Where am I? And what am I supposed to do? People can't live without understanding these things. Eventually, he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he really had a desire to know, Krishna spoke the words, tapas. And he began to perform tapasya. And Krishna empowered him by giving him from within his heart, Tene Brahmarida, to understand that he's supposed to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's supposed to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was no one around to tell him. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenam amupayantate. But Krishna actually induced him with the knowledge to surrender to him from within his heart. And he did it. Therefore, Krishna gave him all intelligence. And then he saw the universe in a completely different way. He saw that Krishna is the source of the universe, that all of Krishna's energies are composing the universe, and that everything within the universe is meant to be utilized in the service for the pleasure of the Lord. This was his vision. The Mayavadi philosophers, they are fond of the slogan, Brahma Satyam Jagamitya. That Brahman is truth. And this whole universe, everything within it, is illusion. It's really non-existent in the higher consciousness of reality. But Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, they explain that this Jagannitya is an impossible
and ridiculous misconception.
Parashti Shaktir Vivadaiva Shuyate, Upanishads explain that the Lord has diversified energies, and everything that exists is composed of the various energies of the Lord. Anything that is emanating from the absolute truth must have truth. Example of the sun. The sun is emanating sunlight. If the sun is truth, then the sunlight must be truth because it's coming from the sun. It's foolish to think that the sunlight is illusion. It is false. But the sun is truth. Because what is the sunlight? It is simply the sun in the form of energy.
Krishna says in Gita, Aham Saravasya Prabhava Mata Saravam Prabhartate,
that he's the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from him.
And for those scholars who do not like to accept Smriti, they're very fond of the Brahma Sutra, which describes Janmadyashashyataha from the very beginning, that the absolute truth is him from whom everything emanates. So this material world is an emanation of the absolute truth. Therefore, it must be truth. It is not false. What is illusion? Illusion is not the material or spiritual worlds. They are all truth. They are all Krishna's.
The difference between truth and illusion is our particular attitude and our perception. If we see this world and the various items within this world as facilities to fulfill our material desire for sense gratification, then our vision is in the realm of illusion. Our vision is false. False in the sense it's not the reality. The fact is, the world is not meant for your sense gratification. Therefore, your idea is false.
Just like the example is, if you see a rope and you become very, very fearful, thinking that it's a snake, that conception that the rope is a snake is false. But the rope is not false. The rope is a reality. But your understanding of what it is and what it is meant for is false. Similarly, everything within all universes are meant for Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram.
All material planets are his property and all sacrifices are meant for him. When we perceive and utilize the various phenomena of material existence for the service of the Lord, that is truth. That is seeing the truth of material existence. That it's meant for Krishna. Therefore, you are perceiving the spirituality within existence. It is explained in Shastra that ultimately all energies are coming from Krishna. We are seeing variegatedness in the energies. But from Krishna, it's all one energy. Prabhupada gives simple example. There's an electrical current. From the powerhouse's point of view, it's just sending current.
One house is plugging a heater into that current, and the current is creating heat. Another house is plugging a freezer, refrigeration, in the current, and he's seeing coldness. So one person is thinking that this electricity makes everything cold, and another person is thinking this electricity makes everything hot. They appear opposite to us, but to the controller of the electrical powerhouse, it's the same energy. When it enters into different receptacles, it manifests in different ways. Krishna's supreme energy is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, other scriptures. In the spiritual world, there is Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. This is the Shakti of the Lord. In the spiritual world, the Sandini energy maintains the existence of the whole spiritual world. It is the energy that enables Krishna to exist and all of his paraphernalia to exist, and all living entities, the Vibhinamshas, to exist. Then there is the Samvit potency. Samvit potency enables Krishna to know himself, Krishna to know all living entities, and all living entities to know Krishna. There is the Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti is that potency that enables Krishna to find supreme enjoyment in himself and in all living entities, in all of his expansions. And it is the energy that enables all living entities to find ecstatic bliss in Krishna. This same Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini, the same energies, when they enter into the material cosmos, where people are not in the same state of mind in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everyone is exclusively united for the pleasure of Krishna. In the material world, everyone is extremely disunited, trying to exploit the resources of Krishna's energies for their own egoistic purposes. So within this existence, there is existence, there is knowledge, and there is the pursuit of happiness. Spiritual world is Satchidananda, which means Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. Srila Prabhupada explains in this material world it is Asat, Achit, and Nirananda. We're looking for Satchidananda, but everything's temporary. There's so much ignorance everywhere, and it's full of suffering. But it's the same energy, but perceived in a different way. Srila Prabhupada explains that Lakshmi Devi is the goddess of fortune in Vaikuntha. And when a devotee in this material world worships Lord Narayan sincerely, then he's under the control and the protection of Lakshmi Devi. Through her energies. But when a devotee wants to live independent, in competition of Lord Narayan, if Krishna's the enjoyer and you want to be enjoyer, that means you're competing. If Krishna's the proprietor and you want to be proprietor, you are competing. Lakshmi is a chaste wife. She will never take sides with the competitor of her consort. Even an insignificant woman in this world who has some sense of chastity will never take sides with a competitor of her husband. So Lakshmi, when she sees people are materially engrossed, that same energy, like an electrical current, it just transforms. She just appears. She personally appears as Durga. She's no longer holding a lotus flower. She's holding a trident. And that trident is to bless us with the threefold miseries of material existence. Ariyatmaka aridayavaka aribhautaka. Such suffering. You never see Lakshmi. Did you ever see a photo of Lakshmi with a trident in her hand? Did you ever see Lakshmi riding on a lion stabbing people? But we always see Durga. That's the only way we ever see her. Kali Mata. We don't see Kali Mata making garlands to offer to Shamsundar. When she wants to make garlands for Shamsundar, she's Radharani. You never see Kali Mata with her hand out like this, offering blessings to all her devotees. Oh, she has swords and clubs and all varieties of weapons. So this is material energy. The one supreme energy of the Lord that is appearing according to our receptivity. Yamaraj told Yamadutas, never go near any devotee of Lord Vishnu who once bows his head before the lotus feet of the Lord, who once chants his holy name. Never go near them. So a devotee does not see Yamaraj at the time of death. But Yamaraj is a messenger of Krishna. He's the personification of one of the energies of Krishna to punish the wicked. Death is death. Death means the soul leaves this body once and for all. So for a devotee, he sees the Vishnu Dutas coming down to bring him to Vaikuntha at the time of death. So nice. And a materialistic person who is sinful, he sees Yamadutas. They don't have flower airplanes. They have clubs and ropes. Kapila Dev explains what they do to you. They drag you through this desert and dogs and jackals are howling and biting you and vultures are eating your entrails. And that's just the trip to get there. What to speak of when you arrive. That's just like reception. So death is death. But a devotee is seeing death in a certain way and a sinful person is seeing death in a completely opposite way. Samoham sarvabhuteshu namedvesha. Krishna says that he is impartial. He's equal to all. According to our desire. According to how we approach him. Through his various energies, he will reveal himself in various ways. In the form of time, Krishna is death personified. Everyone has to surrender to him. At the time of death, everyone offers full dandavat. Yes? You can't do anything else. You're helplessly offering your full dandavats. You're offering your body to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of death. The devotee's offering his dandavats with love and devotion. Everyone surrenders to Krishna. But how we surrender, that's how Krishna reveals himself. So here we find Lord Brahma. Because he's surrendering to Krishna, he's actually seeing everything as it is. Prabhupada translated Bhagavad Gita. Actually, the Sanskrit is essentially the same for anyone who wants to translate and write a commentary. Why so many commentaries? Srila Prabhupada explained that all these commentaries translated in various languages in the world, they are all expressing various opinions of the author. Therefore, there is a need for Bhagavad Gita as it is, with no opinion of the author, simply the opinion of Krishna. So how is it somebody's reading Gita and thinking that I am God? So many interpretations. Srila Prabhupada explains in 1966 in New York, there was no Bhagavad Gita as it is. But he wanted to lecture from Gita. It's such an important scripture. So he was using one very famous political scholar. And man manabhava madbhakto madhyajimnam namaskar. He's saying that it is not to Krishna you should think of, worship, and surrender to. It is the unborn, invisible, unmanifest existence within Krishna that you should surrender to, become devotee of, and worship. Krishna doesn't say that. He's saying that. Krishna says, me. A simple child, if you say me, he's not going to say, do you mean the unmanifest, invisible existence within you? Simple child can figure out, me means me. This is one interpretation. Recently, I was in Jaipur, and I saw this Bhagavad Gita, and it was in the room I was staying in. Some people, they actually give free Bhagavad Gitas to all rooms of guest houses, hotels, and everything. Just like the Gideons, that was their mission, to put Bible in every hotel all over the world. So that when people are there, you know, people go to hotels, and people are frustrated. They watch their television for some time, and eventually they just, there's the Bible. What does it say? I'm frustrated. Maybe there's something here. And people become Christians by that process. So following in footsteps, somebody put Bhagavad Gitas everywhere. And actually, Radha Krishna Prabhu was translating. It was in Hindi, but the translation of the title was Bhagavad Gita as it is. But in different words than Prabhupada says, as it is. But same meaning, Bhagavad Gita as it is. And I read the introduction. The introduction said that there are many commentaries in Bhagavad Gita. The reader may be asking, what is there a need for another one? Exactly Prabhupada's words. And then he said, the need for this is all of the other commentaries are giving their own opinions and speculations. But there's a need for Bhagavad Gita as it is. Exactly Prabhupada's words. And then he said, I am not giving any opinion. I am simply the authority of this Bhagavad Gita commentary is I am simply repeating the words of my spiritual master. Now, this was translated in the 1980s, so this person had sufficient opportunity to thoroughly study Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and get the proper presentation. But then I was thinking, all right, it's Manmanabhava Madbhakto, let's see what he says. Would you like to know? He says that Krishna is saying, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail because you are my friend. He said, when Krishna says, man, me, he means me. He means Krishna. I was thinking, maybe he knows something. Let us see. I was actually getting a little enlivened, so I continued. Said he, when Krishna says me, he means me, Krishna. Then he said, and who is Krishna? Krishna is a self-realized yogi who is the spiritual master of Arjuna. And what this means is you must offer your obeisances, always remember and surrender to the spiritual master, because Krishna is a spiritual master. And by surrendering to the spiritual master, in Arjuna's case it was Krishna. In your case, whoever your spiritual master is, always remember him. Offer your obeisances, worship him, and the result will be that you attain the supreme bliss of merging into the unmanifest, invisible, impersonal existence of the Lord. Hare Krishna. So, different ways of saying. So many ideas. He took all the external, attractive, present. Letters, and they're getting something else. It's based on our desire. It's based on our association. We're seeing everything in a very different way. Dhruva Maharaj expresses that Brahma was able to see everything in truth because he surrendered to Krishna. Prabhupada quotes from Gita in purport, Bahunam janmanamante jnanavam ambapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. After many births and deaths, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto Vasudeva, knowing Krishna to be the cause of all causes and all that is. This is knowledge. And this is the only means by which we can attain real knowledge. Brahma was able to see the universe as it is and work in this universe for the proper purpose because he surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, the path of bhakti is the only means of understanding Krishna as he is. Bhaktyatvananyayashatyam aham evam vidorjana jyatam drastam cha tatvena praveshtam cha parantapa. Only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you. Unless we surrender to Krishna, we remain in various levels of illusion. So Dhruva Maharaj is expressing that this was Brahma's qualification. He surrendered to you. Therefore, he is the original spiritual master in this universe because he has surrendered to Krishna. He's seeing the purpose of the universe and he's being empowered to manipulate on behalf of Krishna the various aspects and energies within this material existence to create. But it's all for the same purpose, to facilitate the Lord's plan. Dhruva Maharaj is saying, you are the only shelter of all persons who desire liberation, and you are the friend of all who are distressed. How, therefore, can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you? In regard to how a devotee sees the universe around in a completely different way than a materialistic person, it can be illustrated by one of Dhruva Maharaj's very dear godbrothers. His name is Mugrari. Mugrari We know the story. He was a horrible hunter. He saw everything according to his desire to exploit. He was a cruel person. Therefore, he found happiness in showing cruelty to others. When he would see various animals, he would just see how, if I can make them suffer miserably, that will bring me such happiness. Because it will give me the sense of how I am controlling their destiny. So he would half kill animals. They would be flapping, screaming in immense agony. When he saw an animal, when he saw anything, he was just thinking, how can I enjoy by making this animal suffer to its maximum extent and then die at my hands? So this is how he was seeing the universe. This is darkness. This is ignorance. But he came, but Narada Muni actually enlightened him. He showed him the reality. He revealed to Magrari in his future lives how all the sufferings that he's causing, all these animals, is going to come upon him. That's enlightenment. He was actually seeing as it is. Now he's thinking, his ignorance, he's thinking, I'm enjoying seeing them suffer. But in the enlightening state, he understands, I'm going to suffer due to their suffering. So he surrendered to Narada Muni. Out of fear, Narada Muni gave him the holy name of Krishna. And essentially, he became such a good devotee that when Narada Muni and Parvat Muni were coming to visit the hermitage of Magrari, when Magrari was trying to offer his obeisances and come to greet his guru, but he kept stopping and very, very gently moving aside the little ants, fearful that he may step on them and injure them. And Parvat Muni said, he was astounded. Your glory, Narada Muni, this most evil, demoniac person, whose only joy in life was to see others suffer and die, now he's seeing the whole universe in a completely different state of mind. He will not even, he'll go through any type of inconvenience to avoid causing the slightest pain to an insignificant ant. This is enlightenment, not the Mayavad misconception that enlightenment means seeing the entire universe as false. Srila Prabhupada said the only thing that's false is their misconception that everything's false. But to see the universe as Krishna's sacred spiritual energy that is existing according to the divine will of Krishna. To see Krishna everywhere, to remember Krishna in everything, and to try to please Krishna in everything we do, everything we speak, and everything we think. That is reality. Rupa Goswami, he describes that incomplete renunciation is to take something and interpret it as material when actually that thing can be used in Krishna's service. Prabhupada would sometimes cite the example of one very, very famous person who was living by the idea of Brahma Satyam Jagan Nitya. People would offer the person money. He would say, no, it is illusion, it is false. I will not touch it. Prabhupada said, offer me money.
As much as you can offer, I will take it.
But for what? Not for me. Not for my false ego. Not for my gross or subtle sense gratification. But I'll take the money and use it for what it is made for. It's made for Krishna. It's made for devotional service. All material and spiritual worlds are simply created for the purpose of devotional service. The spiritual world, it is created so that the enlightened, pure beings can enjoy forever with Krishna. And the material world is created so that people who have rebelled against Krishna, who has rejected Krishna, they could utilize material energy for the purpose of devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead. We have this body. The human form of life is so rare. If you don't have a body, if you don't have a mind, if you don't have senses, how can you perform devotional service? How can you become purified? We need these things. We're depending on them. Krishna says, Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajimnam namaskuru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. If you don't have a body, if you don't have a mind, if you don't have an intelligence, if you don't have an identity, how can you think of Krishna? How can you worship Krishna? So therefore we see this body as something very valuable. Not to enjoy, but to worship Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj, he used all his senses for Krishna. His eyes were seeing the deities, his tongue was tasting prasad and charanamrit. His limbs to clean the temple and serve the devotees. His nose to smell the incense and flowers offered to the Lord. His ears to hear the glories of the Lord. His tongue to chant the holy names. He wasn't thinking, Jagannitya, it is all false. Let me renounce it all. How can there be love with this conception? All that we find within this existence provides an opportunity to express your love for Krishna. And by expressing our love for Krishna, that is how we become purified. Krishna is pleased when we express that willingness to love him. And he provides greater opportunities and empowers us in wonderful ways. Srila Prabhupada explains the impersonalists, they fall down eventually from that conception and end up opening hospitals or schools. So what is this Jagannitya? If everything's false, why are you making hospitals? Why are you making schools? Devotees can have hospitals and schools. But what Prabhupada condemned is this Jagannitya idea. It's a contradiction. Because we can't exist, we can't sustain ourselves in something that is false. And what is false? The misconception that anything is false, except that misconception. Bhaktivedanta Hospital, it is a hospital. But the devotees are using their skills, they're using their intelligence, they're using the building, the facilities, their very bodies to glorify Krishna, to help people to know Krishna, to love Krishna. Therefore, the whole principle is based on truth. The highest spiritual truths. Rupa Goswami describes the practicality of devotional service. To utilize our body, our mind, our words, our life, and all the facilities of material energy for the positive devotional service of the Lord. And what is the greatest service? Krishna tells in Gita, one who enlightens another person about me
is very dear to me. No one will be more dear to me. So to utilize the facilities of this material existence to preach Krishna consciousness is actually the spirit of the Lord. Krishna descends in this world to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness. And the devotees, through disciplic succession, they share the same desire as Krishna. What does pure devotional service ultimately mean? There are various levels of pure devotional service. But in essence, it means that our desire is one with the desire of Krishna, coming through the Guru Parampara. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. We approach the spiritual master in a submissive state of mind, inquiring submissively and eager to serve. That means eager to respond to the instructions that are given in a positive way. And what instructions does he give? He's simply repeating the word of Krishna with the spirit of love of all the previous acharyas. That current, that transcendental current that is descending through parampara is simply the desire of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna. When our body, our mind, our words are utilized in the service of Krishna according to the desire of Krishna, that is the ultimate perfection of consciousness. Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor arpilun tu alpade nandakishor. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's not saying my mind, my home, my body, my wealth, it is all illusion, it is all false. It's the opposite. He's praying my mind, my body, my family, my home, my wealth, everything that I am and everything that I have, it is all surrendered to your loving service, dear son of Nanda Maharaj. That is the highest perception of reality. Marodirakobi Joichatoha Nityadasa Prati. Krishna, if you want, you can protect me. If you want, you can kill me. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am your eternal servant. That is the perception of a Mahabhagavat. Not that everything is one. That is the fruit of surrender. Prabhupada explained that the goal and the means in pure devotional service is one. The process is to offer everything, body, mind, words, life, to Krishna for his pleasure, and to always glorify Krishna. That is the process. What is the ultimate perfectional stage of that process? When we offer our body, mind, words, and life for the service and glorification of Krishna eternally. The difference between a neophyte devotee who's properly following the process of Krishna consciousness and the Mahabhagavat devotee is their actions are the same. The difference is one desires the realization of pure love, and the other has direct experience of that realization of pure love. Srila Prabhupada gives the example. The difference between a neophyte devotee in the process of pure devotional service and a Mahabhagavat, purely self-realized, is the difference between a ripe mango and an unripe mango. They're on the same tree. They're the same fruit. They're just different stages of maturity. Somehow or other, if that unripe mango just remains on the tree of bhakti, it's going to become ripe. They're both mangoes. So Prabhupada explains, actually, therefore, Prabhupada said about his disciples who were following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds every day and honestly trying to serve him. He said, you're all pure devotees. You just haven't realized it. Hare Krishna. Sometimes he would say, you're all liberated. And by just continuing as you are, you will realize what you are. The unripe mango is a mango, but it hasn't realized its full glory. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of remaining connected to the tree. So Dhruva Maharaj, previous to his surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was looking around at the world and he saw nothing but suffering. His stepmother broke his heart and he could only see everything in relationship to that. Isn't it amazing how the mind, when it is victimized by Maya, can just see the whole world according to the color of our particular state of consciousness? If you're really angry and upset about someone, everywhere you look, you're just thinking of that person. Yes? Or if you have some terrible pain, or if you're told you have some terminal disease and you're going to die, everywhere you look, you're just thinking about that pain, or you're just thinking about how I'm going to die. Whatever you see, you can't forget. Srila Prabhupada explains, actually Dhruva Maharaj, how therefore can a learned person who has perfect knowledge ever forget you? Once we come to that stage of experiencing Krishna, we cannot but see Krishna everywhere and in everything. We can't forget Krishna. It's impossible. Once that bhava, that love, develops in the mature state of our Krishna consciousness. So Dhruva Maharaj was looking around. He saw the whole kingdom of his father, Uttanapada. He was the king of the world. He saw it all as a miserable, horrible place. All he could see, everywhere. All he could hear anywhere was the effects of his Suruchi, his stepmother, her insult to him. He was obsessed. He wanted revenge. When he went to the Madhuban forest, that's all he was seeing, was how to get revenge on my stepmother by getting a kingdom greater than my father, greater than my grandfather. Then they'll see who I am. That's the way he was seeing everything. But after surrendering to Krishna, he's seeing the same existence around him. Completely different. Everything is bringing him peace. Everything is bringing him ecstasy. He's seeing everything in relationship to Vishnu. And he goes back to his kingdom on the order of Vishnu to become the king and utilize everything within the world to inspire all living entities to know and love Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we knowing that Narad Muni is a Acharya in our parampara, how is it that when Dhruva Maharaj approached Narad Muni, Narad Muni told him to worship Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not Lord Krishna?
Vishnu and Krishna are the same Supreme Person. According to time, place, circumstance, the great Acharyas preach. Essentially, our parampara is a parampara of pure, unalloyed, undivided devotional service. That is the essence of our parampara. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared within our parampara, and of course he sent Madhavendra Puri and Ishwara Puri to prepare before he came, at that time he revealed the highest essence of the treasure of pure devotional service, which is the loving service of Radha and Krishna. Because actually, Sripad Madhvacharya and the many acharyas that descended from his teachings up until Madhavendra Puri, they all accepted Narayan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But their teaching was pure, undivided, unalloyed devotional service to Lord Narayan. So pure bhakti is parampara. That's why we don't simply call ourselves the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. We call ourselves the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Because what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, he did not change anything according to this unbroken line of disciple succession. What he did is he presented something beyond. The highest, purest, most ecstatic way of pure devotional service, which is following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. So there was no change. There was just an enrichment that the Supreme Personality of God had personally descended to present. And actually, Vedavyas, he is author of Vedas. And in his own realization, according to Narada Muni, his guru, that you are dissatisfied because you've written all these Vedic literatures for all different classes of men, but you have not yet explained the divine pastimes of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. These are the words of Vedavyas. And where did he learn it from? From Narada Muni, who learned it from Brahma. So actually, originally, Srimad Bhagavatam is on Narada Muni's instruction written by Vedavyas to show that all of the other Vedas are ultimately not that important. The most important is the essence, the cream of all knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam culminates in the understanding of Sri Radharani, the Ladini Shakti, the ultimate abode of love, and how Krishna is the ultimate object of love, the Vishaya and the Ashraya. Narada Muni bhajai vina Radhika Ramana name. He's chanting the names Radhika Raman. To some people he chants the name Narayan, according to time, place, circumstance. He's teaching, wherever Narada Muni goes, he's preaching pure devotional service. So within our parampara, according to Vyasadeva, according to Narada Muni, we see that their ultimate culmination of all spiritual principles is Vrindavan Leela. Yes? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appeared to reveal that, to extract that essence from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything Mahaprabhu spoke, he was taking from the scriptures written by Vyasadeva, inspired by Narada, spoken by Brahma. So that is where it's coming from. But for a certain span of time, for specific purposes, the Lord, through various acharyas in our parampara, was teaching pure devotional service to Lord Narayan. And what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did is, yes, he took that current of pure devotional service, but related it back to Vyasadeva and Narada Muni and Brahma's ultimate understandings of pure devotional service, their ultimate siddhanta. To follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught there is love of God, but the ultimate intensity, qualitative and quantitative, is the gopis of Vrindavan. And Sri Radharani is the supreme of the gopis. And therefore, to become the servant of the servant of that tattva affords the highest treasure of love. To Murari Gupta, who is a devotee of Ram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed himself as Ram. To others, he revealed himself as Vishnu. So this is all included within the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Just like in your school in India, there's KG to 10th standard. Yes? Once you have 10th standard knowledge, you have the knowledge of all the previous. But the person who's writing the textbooks for all, he knows everything. So that's Veda Vyas. That's Narada, Brahma, Vishnu. They know everything. However, we understand it's not a different knowledge in different courses. It's simply 10th standard is inclusive. The others are not inclusive. Therefore, the inclusive level of knowledge is considered higher. So from the very beginning of creation in Parampara, the realization of Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam is being presented. The most inclusive knowledge. That according to time, place, circumstance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead for some time within Parampara was teaching a certain level of pure devotional service. But then when the Lord appeared again, he came to teach the all-inclusive siddhanta. Which is the original knowledge of Vedas. Does that answer your question? Anyone like to add anything to that? Our scholarly preachers, Govinda Prabhu, Shikshastakam Prabhu, Gauranga Prabhu, Paramhams Prabhu. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Krishna.